Why do people want to be at work? To feel heard, appreciated, part of something, and to know there's a career path for everyone. Inclusive workplaces are linked to increased innovation, productivity, and employee satisfaction. Make your organisation a place where people want to be. For inclusion and diversity training, visit inclusion-program.com.au.
Welcome back to another episode of The Anime Show with Joey and Aki, or I guess in this case it's just going to be me. It's just The Anime Show with Joey, and in this episode I'm going to be ranting and talking about basically what anime means to me and how I got to where I am in terms of talking about anime as a living. If you enjoy the podcast, make sure to like, favorite, comment, and share it with all of your friends.
Another SBS Pop Asia podcast. It's The Anime Show with Joey and Aki.
Hey guys, it's just me this week. So if you guys have been tuning into regular episodes, unfortunately, Aki's not here right now. She's on a road trip at the moment, so we couldn't really find enough time to sit down together and do an episode. So this week, it's just going to be me. What we're going to be talking about today, as you heard in the intro, is, I guess, I said in the intro what anime means to me, but I'm probably more going to be talking about how I came to where I am. Like, maybe, I mean, you know, you've probably heard me briefly talk about this kind of stuff if you've seen me at cons and, you know, different conventions where people ask me, like, oh, how did you get to where you are? Or, like, you know, when we do, like, I've done a few, like, you know, how to be an anime YouTuber or AniTuber or YouTuber things before, panels before, where I, you know, briefly go over stuff like that. But I haven't really talked about how I came to where I am, how this, you know, a Japanese Australian kid from Sydney became what I am today, what you guys know me for. My parents aren't really into that kind of thing. Like, especially, like, you know, obviously my dad is not that much into it, considering, you know, he's an Australian. He's a German-Hungarian-Australian dude. So naturally, he didn't really, you know, get in touch with that side of things. But my mom, who is full Japanese, she did, because I feel that every Japanese kid, or, you know, kid growing up in Japan, it doesn't matter, like, how much of an otaku you are, you know, in your childhood, it's just something that you come across naturally as a kid. Like, every kid reads manga and watches anime, and that's how they grow up. It's like, you know, every kid in Australia or every kid in, you know, America and stuff like that grow up, you know, watching the Disney Channel and Nickelodeon and Cartoon Network and all those shows, right? Same thing. Like, the equivalent to that over here in Japan is, you know, morning kids shows, and which are subsequently anime if you look at it from the outside perspective. So my mom was obviously that. She, you know, obviously grew up reading manga and stuff like that as well. Because again, it is just kind of a natural thing. But, I kind of got into it, technically through my mom. My mom, you know, brought back some manga. I think the first ever manga I read was, volume 2 of Doraemon. Now, Doraemon, if you don't know, you've probably seen him before. He's like a blue dango-looking guy, like robot who's like really, really round. You've probably seen him before if you just look him up, Doraemon. But basically, he's like a cultural icon in Japan. Like, he's what Mickey Mouse is to Disney. You know, Mickey Mouse to Disney is Doraemon to Japan. Like, he's just this character that's existed for like 30, 40 years, maybe more at this point. And kids nowadays still grow up reading and watching Doraemon. And I did too. Like, Doraemon started way before I was born. You know, it started, I believe, in the early 80s. It was a manga from the 80s. But, you know, by the time I grew up, or when I was growing up, I was still reading and watching Doraemon, and I read volume 2. I'm trying to remember why I started on volume 2. I think it's because that was the only volume that my mum had at the time. I think she got the Doraemon volume from someone. She didn't have it on her own. But I read it and I instantly fell in love with it. And this was at a time, you know, I was probably like 3 years old. I learned to read pretty quickly. Don't mean to brag, but I learned to read pretty quickly as a child. Like, but you know, when I was going into kindergarten, like, you know, all the kids around me were still learning the alphabet and stuff like that, while I was reading stuff that, you know, second graders read. Yeah, I was reading Doraemon at the age of like 3, and that's where I learned a lot of my Japanese. You know, obviously I learned most of it from my mom, but I also learned a lot of things that my mom didn't teach me through reading Doraemon. And I feel that, you know, every Japanese kid does learn that kind of things from Doraemon and other kids' manga. But basically, I fell in love with Doraemon. I was reading Doraemon basically all of the first, I'd say, like 5 years of my life. And I learned to read and write, and, you know, mostly read from Doraemon. And it was from there that I found out that Doraemon was originally serialized in this monthly magazine called, Gekkan Korokoro Komiku, or Korokoro Comics. And, you know, Doraemon was just one of those. It's like the kids' version of Shonen Jump, basically. So from there, I started reading Korokoro stuff because the school that I was going to at the time was kind of like a half Japanese, half Australian school. So they had like each year, I'm not going to say the name of the school because for privacy reasons, obviously, but basically the school that I went to was like I went to that school until the third grade. And like, for example, it was like the first grade, there were two classes, basically two first grade classes. There was the international class, which was like the Australians, you know, like the white Australians or, you know, non-Japanese Australians who grew up in Sydney. And then there was the Japanese class, which was full of Japanese kids who were living in Australia. And the Japanese class would learn English. So basically the Japanese class would basically be like a school in Japan, but they would also learn English at the same time. And the international class, which was the class I was in, would be just like a regular elementary school in Australia, but we would also be learning Japanese. So it's kind of like this mixture of a Japanese school and an Australian school. So from there, like, you know, I was part of the international class, but I excelled in Japanese because of my mom. And I got to be friends with a lot of kids from the Japanese class. And from there, it was from those kids that I found out about, you know, things like Korokoro Comics. You know, they were like, oh, you're still reading Doraemon? There's like a whole bunch of other good ones in Korokoro Comic. And I'm like, what's Korokoro Comic? And then they showed me. And I'm like, oh man, look at all these great manga that I never even heard of and never even knew existed. So I started reading Korokoro Comic. I would go to the class. I would go to the next class, the Japanese class, like every lunch break or whatever. And, you know, one of my friends would have the new edition of Korokoro Comic that their mom or their dad, their Japanese parent, would ship over from Japan every month. And we would read that together. So I'm just trying to think, like, what were some of the series that I read? Like, you know, obviously there was Doraemon in there. There was And I don't expect anybody listening to this podcast to know any of these series that I'm about to say. But there was Dangerous G-San, there was Korokke, there was the Yu-Gi-Oh! Not the Yu-Gi-Oh! Manga, the Duel Monsters manga. Not the Yu-Gi-Oh! Manga, the Yu-Gi-Oh! Manga was in Shonen Jump, which I didn't start reading until way later. Man, there were a lot. There was like this Pokemon manga that was in there. There was a Kirby manga that was in there, but one of my favorites in Korokoro Comic, which I actually did a video on my channel, which surprisingly didn't get a lot of views, not surprisingly didn't get a lot of views, was the Super Mario manga. And it was from reading the Super Mario manga and the Kirby manga that I also fell in love with video games. You know, I was like, oh, you know, I want to like play these games, because at the time as well, the only like video games I ever got in contact with was through my cousin, and my uncle, who was super into games like Final Fantasy and Dragon Quest and stuff like that. But I never really touched upon like the Super Marios and the Kirby's and the Legend of Zelda's and stuff like that. And I found out those, weirdly enough, through their manga adaptations in Korokoro Comic. So I loved reading the Super Mario manga. I did a whole video on my channel, so check that out if you're interested. And from there, I learned a lot of Japanese. Like, I learned to read and write a lot of Japanese. And from reading those manga in Korokoro Comic, I also learned to speak Japanese a lot more by, you know, talking about the different Korokoro Comic manga that I read that month with my classmates, you know, the next door Japanese classmates. You know, I'd be like, oh, you know, this month's Dangerous G-Son was so funny, or like, oh, this month's Duel Masters was so epic, and like, oh, this month's Korokke manga was like so awesome. And yeah, that's kind of how it was until, man, I was reading that, I'd say until like the age of 10 or 11, maybe more. Yeah, I'd say around the age of 10 to 11, because it was the only like manga that I could ever really get in contact with. And it wasn't until I got a few other manga from my mum's friend, older manga from my mom's friend, where I discovered manga like Yu Yu Hakusho, where I discovered Dragon Ball, where I discovered Bleach, where I discovered One Piece. And at that time, I hadn't really been watching a lot of anime. The only anime that I was really watching was, you know, the stuff that I grew up watching when I was little. So I was watching, you know, obviously the Doraemon anime. I was watching Shin-chan, Crayon Shin-chan. The other kids' shows that I was watching was like Ojarumaru, Nintama Rantaro, and basically all these like anime that kids grow up watching when they're little. But it's basically like the Nickelodeon Cartoon Networks of for Japanese kids. And you know, during that time, I was also watching, and you know, I was watching and consuming stuff from, not so much Nickelodeon. I was definitely more of a Cartoon Network kid, so I was watching, you know, like, back when Cartoon Network was still great, still full of great shows. You know, I was watching, like, Cow and Chicken, I Am Weasel, Johnny Darko. that's Donnie Darko, first of all, and that's not an animation. Johnny Bravo, Dexter's Laboratory, you know, all of those great shows from the early 2000s, Ed, Edd n Eddy, you know, all those shows. You know, obviously other stuff like, you know, Simpsons, and you know, if you were born around like the mid 90s like me, then you'd know what exactly I'm talking about, right? Like all the good stuff. But yeah, basically I didn't really get in contact with the Shonen Jump kind of stuff, and you know, more the stuff that was suited towards my age, and at this time I was like 12, 13 years old. Until, you know, I found like Yu Hakusho. I think Yu Hakusho was the first non-child manga that I ever read. And I love it to this day. It's still one of my favorite Shonen Jump manga. In fact, I have all the volumes sitting right underneath my feet as I record this episode. But yeah, at this point, I was still not really watching anime. Like anime that like I talk about and watch today. And I'm trying to remember what it was that got me into watching anime again. Because for a very, very long time, I was only reading manga. I had stopped watching the kids' anime that I grew up watching, like Nintama Rantaro, you know, all of those that I'd mentioned before. And I was just reading manga. Like, manga was, like, everything to me. Like, it got to a point where I was reading manga. Like, I would sit down on the floor of my room. I would have a volume of, say, Yu Yu Hakusho, like, to my right. And then to my left, I would have a Japanese dictionary open. So that whenever I come across, say, a kanji that I can't read, or a word in Japanese that I couldn't understand, I would flip over to the dictionary and look it up, and see how to read it, how to write it, and what it means, and then use it in a sentence. And I'd practice that with my mom. You know, I'd be like, oh, I just learned this new word. Is this what it means? I'm going to say a sentence. I'm going to say like an example sentence and see what it means. And then I would say it to my mom, and she'd be like, she would either say, yeah, that's correct, or no, that's not really correct. This is how you would use it. So you know, despite what a lot of people think about me, like, I didn't learn Japanese, like, just like that. Like, I didn't learn it immediately. You know, I would read Yu Yu Hakusho, I'd read Dragon Ball, I'd read all this manga, and then that's when I started to go to Japan and go to, like, secondhand bookstores, like Book Off, which I still go to today, to buy, you know, secondhand manga that I thought was interesting. And during high school, like, middle school and high school, I didn't really have any friends who liked what I liked. I went to a very, very white school. I went to an all-boys public school. And I was basically the only Asian kid there. I was basically the only kid there who had any Asian blood in his body. So a lot of my friends that I made in middle school and high school didn't really know anything about manga and anime. They never heard of it before. They never had anything to do with it, because also you have to also remember, like, at that time it was like, what, 2007, 2008, around that time, the anime and manga community, I guess, was still very niche, very hidden away. It wasn't as open as it is today. And I think it was around 2006 or 7 that I found out about Haruhi, about Suzumiya Haruhi, and I found out about Clannad, I found out about Lucky Star, I found out about a lot of shows like that, and I started to watch them. I was like, it was at a time as well where, like, I was, like, kind of getting burnt out a little bit on manga, because that's all I was reading. I was still young to, like, venture out into proper Japanese novels and light novels and stuff like that, because my Japanese wasn't that good at the time. Wasn't at that level at that time. So it was somewhere. I don't remember where it was. I think I might have just seen it while I was in Japan, you know, visiting my family or whatever. But I found out about Suzumiya Haruhi. I found out about, yeah, Lucky Star, Clannad, those kinds of shows. And it was the first time I ever went onto the internet and watched them. And when I did, I was like, holy moly, this just opened up a new door. Like, I thought there was so much manga already. And I thought, like, the anime that I was watching at the time when I was growing up was, like, everything. And then I was like, oh man, look at all these shows that I've been missing out on. And so I think as well, like, I was very fortunate that I had discovered the greater world of anime during the golden age. You know, during, you know, 2006 to 2008 is considered the golden age of anime for a lot of us. Because there was just so many good shows that I found. You know, I was watching Lucky Star while it was airing. And I think a lot of people can't say that, but, you know, and that's when it was shows like that kind of got me more interested in being part of this otaku culture and otaku community. So, and, you know, watching those kinds of shows as well definitely excited me in more ways than one, because, you know, it was, of course, new anime that I got to discover, and this entirely new concept of manga and anime that I never even knew existed. But it was also a new avenue for me to learn more Japanese, because watching things like Lucky Star and Clannad and Suzumiya Haruhi, and then reading the manga for that, was just like so many new words, so many new concepts of vocabulary in Japanese that, you know, you don't hear normal people say, because surprise, surprise, people in Japan and Japanese people don't talk like they do in manga and anime. But so, you know, it was like all these new nuances and, like, vocabulary that I found out from watching these kinds of anime and then reading, you know, these kinds of manga. And that excited me more. That got me, like, being like, oh man, this, like, I thought I knew so much about Japanese already. But it turns out that there is just this whole other side that I have no idea about. And so that's when, basically, I was, what, 13? When I really stepped foot into what is now considered the anime community. And, it was all online at that point, because again, the, you know, the actual anime manga community, especially in Australia, and especially, you know, concerning the people that I associated myself with in school and outside of school and stuff like that, there were very, very few people. There were only, like, some of my Japanese friends who were, like, into that kind of stuff. But it made sense because, you know, again, like, culturally, they're more prone to being introduced to that kind of stuff from a small age. But, you know, if you go towards, like, a white Australian dude who has, you know, white Australian parents, it's very difficult to stumble upon that kind of stuff unless their parents are super into it. And a lot of my friends in middle school and high school weren't. So it was, I kept it hidden for a very, very long time. I kept it hidden that I liked that kind of stuff, because that was also at an age where kids were more prone to getting made fun of for that kind of thing. It was at a time where the term otaku was seen as a bad thing. And so I didn't say anything, and I just pretended I didn't know about it. But then I guess one of my friends, like, became more, as I got to be, like, friendly with my friends in high school, and a lot of them I still hang out with to this day, you know, I still talk to them to this day. They were like, what is this, like, anime and manga stuff that you're into? And I showed them. And one of my best friends in high school, who I'm still very good friends with today, I introduced him to Evangelion, because that was around the time where Evangelion kind of made a comeback. This was, like, what, 2009, I would say, around that time. And I showed him Evangelion, and he immediately fell in love with it. And that was, like, my first friend in real life in school that I could openly talk about anime and manga with. Like, we got to a point where, like, we would be talking about, like, every day, like, you know, that's when we would, like, watch everything that came out. And, like, everything that came out, like, airing, like, on that day. And then the next day, we'd come together and be like, did you watch that episode of blah, blah, blah last night? And we were like, yeah. And then we'd, like, discuss about it. Like, be like, oh, so good. And it was really fun. It was really different. And I liked that. And like, you know, it started with him, this one friend, and then a few of my other friends, like, kind of got into it. Like, you know, finding it out from us. But it never got to the point as much as me and my best friend in high school. And unfortunately, he doesn't watch as much anime anymore because, you know, we're all adults now and he has a full-time job, you know, busy life. He has his own life to handle. But I kept going. Like, it was ingrained in my childhood. So I just naturally got to, you know, I just naturally got more and more and more invested than anybody else. And I don't know, it was just really fun. And here I am today, basically, almost, what, 10 years later. I'm still, now I'm talking about it, you know, in a podcast. I'm talking about it on YouTube. I'm talking about it on the internet. I'm talking about it in front of, you know, hundreds of people at conventions all over the world as a living. This is what I do now. And, you know, if I could... If me from 10 years ago could see where I am now, I think he'd be blown away. Because I am, like, I am blown away. It's insane where what's happened to me right now. And it's insane to see how much the anime community has changed. Not just around me, but just all over the world. You know, the fact that we have, what, 1.3 million subscribers is insane. Like, I talk about anime, I talk about Japanese cartoons, which is, like, the most niche thing you could possibly ever talk about. And we're here, and the community has grown so much. It's not just me, like, so many of who I now consider some of my best friends, and heck, you know, my partner, you know, my girlfriend, my lovely girlfriend, who is also in this community. It's insane where we've gotten to. But, you know, it's weird, but I like it. Because it's just something that I've been so passionate about ever since I was a wee little lad. But here we are. And here you are listening to me ramble on about, you know, what it means to me. Because it is my life at this point. Like, unironically, it is my life. This is what I do now for a living. And, you know, hopefully I can take it further. Hopefully I can do all sorts of things and, you know, including this podcast. You know, I never thought I'd have a show. I'd have my own show on SBS where I talk about Japanese cartoons. It's weird. But yeah, that's basically how I got to where I am. But I think we're going to end it here because I'm sure you miss Aki and you're waiting for Aki to come back. So yeah, thank you very much, guys, for listening in to another episode of The Anime Show with Joey and Aki, or in this case, just Joey, just me. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to like, favorite, comment, share it with all of your friends because it helps out the show a lot. It helps out to grow out an amazing audience that we have over here on the podcast lands. And if you want to hear more of my voice and see more of my face, because you haven't seen my face because this is a podcast, then I have a YouTube, The Anime Man. I also have a Twitter. All that kind of stuff is on my channel, so check it all out. Next week, don't worry, Aki will be back. She's just gone on a short road trip, which just so happened to clash with this week's episode. But next week, Aki will be back. We'll be back to our regularly scheduled episodes. So, yeah. I guess also let me know what your, I guess, life of anime has been, or how you got to liking anime. Like, how did you discover it? You know, all that kind of stuff. What really excited you? I would say, I don't want to say force. What really excited you to get into the anime community and you really be invested into anime, you know, as much as you are now. Let me know all that kind of stuff using our specialized hashtag SBSAnime, hashtag SBSAnime over on Twitter. Unfortunately, we only have it on Twitter, so if you don't have a Twitter, it's going to be a little bit difficult, but try. It's not, you know, Twitter's free, so this weirdly turned into like an advertisement for Twitter. Not sponsored by Twitter. Just make a Twitter if you don't have one. Use our specialized hashtag SBSAnime to let me know all your thoughts. Any suggestions that you have for future episodes, we can also read up on using our specialized hashtag, so make sure to let me know. But guys, that's going to do it for this episode of The Anime Show with Joey and Aki, or just Joey in this case. And yeah, Aki will be back next week, so we will see you guys then. Bye-bye!